إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, I just returned from Kuwait. One of the last lecture I did there was on raising millennials, or rather raising children in this millennium. So it's not only millennials, but even the what is called the Generation Z. And what I said there, and which I feel, is the whole importance of the focus and emphasis that parents have on what they consider to be development of their children. Of course, I have mentioned many times before that you are not bringing up pets, you are bringing up your heirs, and you are bringing up and raising those who will be sadaqatul jariya for you. So you can't treat them the same way as you would treat a pet kitten, or you know, any other kind of a pet, that you only look after their physical well-being, that they should have enough food and shelter, and they should not be sick. That is all given. I mean, that's the boundary condition. That's not raising children. Raising children has to do with more than that. Now, of course, parents are also concerned with more than that. So you find parents are very concerned about which school the child should go into, and you know, what kind of schooling. And those parents who are a little more intelligent than others, then they know that the current schooling system, as it is in most places, is highly inadequate, if not harmful. So they look for better schooling systems and so on. There's a lot of growing popularity of homeschooling. But again, homeschooling is based on the assumption that somehow the mother, usually it is the mother, is a better teacher than a professional teacher. Which assumption also needs to be questioned, because it's just because you are a mother doesn't necessarily mean that you are a good teacher, or that you even know what to teach. So homeschooling by itself, depending on what you are doing, just homeschooling by itself can't be said to be better than a school, because it depends on the same criteria, which is what is it you are doing at home, and what is it that the school does, and so on and so forth. But if you look at that again, if you say, the thing that I asked in that lecture also was that, what are your goals for your children? And we find that most of those goals, if not all, will be purely materialistic. My child must be, educated at to this level at least, and after that my child must have a job, must start a business, and in that job the child must have such and such a career, and so on. Where is Islam in that? Where is Islam in that? Where is the concern in that? On a similar note, for example, if you see one of the very common, if not the most common, ailment of society today is depression. It is anxiety, it is depression. I mean, whether it's clinical anxiety, clinical depression, or generally a low feeling and a feeling of, being fearful and so forth. If you go into the reasons for that and ask somebody, say, why are you depressed? I'm not trying to do a clinical analysis of that here, but I'm saying that if you ask the reasons why people are depressed, they're all reasons related to this life, right? So reasons related to this life. And that is the reason why when people get deeply depressed, the final conclusion to that from a person who is depressed is to end this. Right? So they go into suicide. And that's why suicides and divorces are today very common. I mean, they've become far more prevalent than before, because effectively they are the same thing. You can't deal or handle that relationship called marriage, so divorce, Right? So divorce is like a suicide. Suicide of a marriage is divorce. And then suicide of a person is suicide. But people forget that that doesn't end anything. I mean, after you get divorced, if you get married, I mean, how has the divorce solved the problem? You can't solve. How does you just opted out, right? And for most people, they have not learned anything from that divorce. So the next marriage they go into, they have the same problems. With the suicide, of course, there is no second chance around. But did you actually solve the problem that you had in your depression? Or did you actually add to the problem now by having committed something which is a haram mouth? You know, action which actually puts you into more trouble than you already had. So the whole issue is whether it is happiness or whether it is sadness in our lives seems to revolve around this dunya life alone. Nothing more than that. We were very happy for worldly things. I did this great deal and I made a lot of money, or my child did this, or I studied this, or I got this job, or I did not get this job. So either whatever the reasons are, I think it's very important to sit and do an analysis of our own life, our own history, and say that if I ask you, say in the last 5 years, anything that's older than 5 years probably is not relevant. But say in the last 5 years, if I tell you name for me or list for me your peaks and your troughs, right? What were the things that you can recall in the last 5 years that you were extremely happy about? And what are the things that you can recall in the last 5 years that you are very sad about or disappointed about? I can probably guarantee you that if you do this randomly across the world, there is probably not even one person who will list something that he was very happy about which relates to anything other than this dunya and other than material, and vice versa, same thing, something is very disappointed about or sad about which again relates to this life and this material stuff. Allah Alam. I think it's an exercise worth doing for yourself, definitely, and maybe even with others, and say that, do this. What are the last 5 years? What are the things that you are extremely happy about? You instant recall, oh, fantastic, wonderful. I had a great holiday, I did this, I did that, I did this business deal, I qualified in my exam. Now, my point I'm making is that none of that is haram, right? So it's not as if you will go to Jahannam for that. You will not. But at the same time, it shows where our focus is. Because at the end of all that, even if all that happens, still it is something that you are going to lose. As I said, I was in Kuwait just now, and this incident happened now almost coming close to a year, but one of our very dear friends, Arif Jamil, passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and give sabr to his family and fill his qabr with noor. Very dear friend and wonderful man. So I was saying to some of my friends there that, you know, it feels very odd to come to Kuwait and then Arif bhai is not there. And Mansha bhai tells me, another very dear friend and my host there, Mansha bhai tells me that after Arif Jamil passed away, three other Hyderabadis passed away, and all three were under 40. All three. Now the point is that we hear these stories, I heard that as well, we hear these stories. I mean, how many times do we hear the same stories over and over again? Issue is, what is the result of that on me? What is the result of that on me? And I'm not going to, you know, great sort of depth or breadth of what we need to do. I'm saying very simple things. For example, what is the importance of Salah in my life? I know Salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Miftahul Jannah, it is the key to Jannah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the first thing that you will be questioned about is Salah for the one for whom that is easy, the rest of his hisab will be easy. The one who gets caught in that, for him the rest of his hisab will also be difficult. We know all, I don't think there's anyone here who does not or never heard of these hadiths. We all know these hadiths. Issue is, does that knowledge bring you into a masjid for Salatul Fajr or not? That is the issue. The issue is, this knowledge of the importance of Salah, does it ensure that we pray on time, wherever we are? Is that a concern? So these peaks and troughs, for example, if I ask you to do, is there any one of us who says that, may Allah forgive me, but I missed one Salah, and that is like a wound in my body. It's something which is affecting me. Is there somebody who says that? And vice versa, is there somebody who says that, I was reading the Quran and this one ayat, wallah, the way that ayat hit me. I'm not talking about saying all this for effect. I'm saying, inside, do you and I have this? Is this a part of our life experience? Do we remember, do we recall? And similar things. The whole point is this. The whole point is that if we are going to have something and benefit from something, then we have to be engaged in it. Our Islam is very disengaged. So the issue of depression, how many of us are depressed, or how many people are in the world are depressed because I cannot connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I am depressed because my salah is empty. I am depressed because I am standing in salah and I have no khushu. I am depressed because I can easily miss salah. It doesn't bother me. I am depressed because I read the Quran and I cannot understand it. I am depressed because I stand behind the imam in Taraweeh after Taraweeh after Taraweeh after Taraweeh and I can't understand anything. I am depressed because the imam recites like an express train and really makes no difference to me. When he recites slowly, I am actually upset. I am depressed because I know nothing about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am depressed because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't know, if somebody asks me how many children did he have, I don't know. If someone says, name the children, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Have I? I am depressed because when I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will I stand with? I don't know. Seriously, I am saying that, for all worldly stuff, we have, I'm depressed here, I'm depressed there, my children like this, my so-and-so. This. All of that stuff is going to finish. All of that stuff will become completely immaterial and useless. And that's the reason why it's very important to sit and reflect in your life. Sit and contemplate and reflect. Many times I have thought about the things in my youth, in my teenage, the people, the things, the aims and objectives, which I was so desperate about. I recall once, oh my God, at that time, this was something that I really, 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 really wanted. I begged and pleaded Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Allah did not give me. There was something that I really wanted, something that I was really disappointed about. Now today I'm 63. I am thinking, is that, I have to think about it and recall and sit down and say what was happening when I was 17, 18, 20. It's not even in my, I have to dig it out from my, do some data mining from my hard disk to find it, still, even whether it's still there or not. And that was something which was, my whole life was on that. Wallah. Today it has no meaning, no value, nothing. So also what is today so critically important for me in this world has actually no value. I mean, if I go fast forward a few years, Allah haram. So what is really of value is that which will last. And that is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. That is the focus on the akhirah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا سَرِنَا الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. He did not say, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ, and then the one who has wealth and power and this and that and glory and... No.
إلا الذين آمنوا إيمان وعملوا الصالحات good deeds. Do I have an account of this? What is the level and condition of my iman? My iman is such that it does not even keep me out of depression. Why am I depressed? Allah to hai na bhai. Whoever you lost, I mean, Allah to nahi hai, Allah to nahi ghaib ho gaya na, Allah to hai, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, no? So, amilu salihat, good deeds. What did I do just yesterday which was good? I'm not acceptability with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good deed to that level of ikhlas and so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, we ask Allah for His mercy and so on. Ya Allah, whatever garbage we bring, please forgive us and, you know, but let us, at least, have I done anything? Did I do something yesterday which can be considered a good deed, no matter how weak and so on? Did you even do something? Did we say something? Did we do something? And then compare it with, for this dunya, for this worldly stuff, what did I do? I'm saying, unless we get into this habit of actually taking an account of our lives, just like we do for our dunya, we cannot straighten ourselves. We have to take an account of this. Just like we write profit and loss accounts and profit and loss statements for our dunya, we must have the same thing for our akhirah. Just like you have an auditor who will sit with you, an accountant who will sit with you and do your accounts for you, and you sit there and you listen to him, that way you must have an auditor and accountant for your akhirah also. You must sit with somebody and say, this is my life, tell me, what am I supposed to do? Yeah, you don't play games with auditors. If you play games with auditors, you will land in jail. But even if you land in jail in this dunya, you will come out of jail one day. Yeah, nobody gets life imprisonment for fudging his taxes. But what about the akhirah? We die with our iman fudged and with our earning fudged and... That's a long time. There's no release from that prison. So I remind myself and you, let us get out of this remote living or this random, you know, whatever, robotic living, and get into some real life. And apply the same principles, exactly the same principles and rules that we apply for this dunya, let us apply it for our akhirah. Inshallah al-Musta'an, this is enough. We don't need any great revelation from anywhere. Just like this. Look at yourself and say, what do I do? What are my priorities of success in this dunya? What are my ways and systems to ensure that I am successful? Let me apply exactly the same things to my akhirah. You are inshallah al-Musta'an in good form. But apply the same stuff. Don't play games. I mean, don't do all systems and processes in this dunya, and in the akhirah, you know, whatever comes. That's not the way to success. And then you will find all this depression, everything will go away, because you will be thinking about real stuff, not this nonsense. Real stuff. What is the real stuff? Real stuff is what is going to last when my eyes shut, or when my eyes actually open. I mean, it's not eyes shut. When I see the ghaib, when I see Malakul Maut, Assalamu Alaikum. I'm ready, Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do what is important before the time comes when we will be called to account. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.